Welcome to Drive Time GP, a podcast exclusively for healthcare professionals. Let's talk muscle health miniseries, part 4. Poor muscle health and chronic disease. Don't wait for the fall. As a support to this interview, visit musclematters.com.au to download the Australian Muscle Health Monitoring and Management in Primary Care algorithm that aids in the early detection of poor muscle health to help guide timely management, ensuring optimal outcomes.
Poor muscle health and malnutrition are prevalent conditions amongst adults of all ages, regardless of body weight or body mass index. Lots of acute or chronic conditions can be accelerators for muscle loss, negatively impacting clinical outcomes, and so early detection and intervention are essential. But unfortunately, poor muscle health and malnutrition often go unnoticed in patients with normal weight or even excess adiposity, leading to muscle health being overlooked in routine clinical practice, hindering diagnosis and treatment. In today's episode, we're joined by Dr. Chi Koo. He's a GP and conjoint associate professor at Western Sydney University, and he's going to help us understand how we as GPs can support our patients with chronic disease and help optimise their outcomes by focusing on improving muscle health. Welcome, Chi. How are you going?
Thank you for having me.
No, we're really excited to get into this topic. Let's start at the beginning. Can you start by explaining the role of chronic disease as a factor for poor muscle health?
Chronic disease itself often are inflammatory conditions. The inflammatory conditions actually causes patients to lose muscle. All inflammatory conditions, whether they are cancer, infection, or any other chronic illnesses, will cause them to lose muscle. Of course, people with chronic illness not only are less mobile, do less carrying, they also eat poorly as well. So it's a triple combination in a lot of our patients.
So can you tell us a little bit about the mechanism that's driving muscle health decline?
I tell my patients that we need a lot of protein just for maintenance, not just for repair, not just when we are unwell. So when we don't have enough protein in our diet, we end up losing muscle fibers and therefore to start off sarcopenia. Now, we know that sarcopenia is not just about muscle bulk, it's muscle function as well. So chronic illnesses, as I said earlier, because it's an inflammatory condition, there's a lot of inflammatory cytokines that directly destroy the chemicals that help us build muscles and enhance the chemicals that destroy muscle faster. So therefore, the muscle balance is then disrupted in chronic illness.
So what are the consequences of all of this happening?
I guess as a GP, we only think about fractures and falls and instability. It's a lot more than that. People who are poor in muscle health often have greater problems, for example, post-operatively. There are studies to confirm if you have sarcopenia, your complication rate after surgery is higher. And poor muscle health also increases our risk of infection. For somebody with COPD, the less muscle they have, the more exacerbation they have. So it's not just mechanically poor muscle health causes problems. It's metabolically and inflammatory-wise, poor muscle health is actually a lot worse off. Of course, mortality rate are higher for people who's got poor muscle health.
We know that poor muscle health just goes hand in hand with so many chronic conditions. Tell us about why it's so important to detect muscle loss as early as possible.
Well, I guess the easiest thing to think about is, for example, if you look at one of your patients who's really, really weak and have great difficulty getting out of the chair, can you imagine what you can do for them to rebuild their muscles? Very difficult. And I see that a lot, and I like to think that we can all catch them much earlier. When you've got slight difficulty getting out of the chair, slight difficulty walking, you can do a lot of things. So it's one of those very important things of early diagnosis. Now, it's one of those things that we see it, but yet we don't see it in our practice. Now, we were trained in medical school that you don't call your patients into the room. You go out to the room and call for them, not to see how they walk down the corridor, actually see how they get up to the chair. And that's how you spot them. It's so vital to pick them early. Now, we don't pick them after they have a fall. You don't pick them after the complications of surgery. You pick them up when they start signs, early signs of a little bit of weakness. You want to treat them then.
It's such a good point. Chi, in a previous interview series, we did talk about the new Australian muscle health algorithm that's been developed to help us GPs know when and how to assess muscle health. Can you just give us a quick recap of the key steps in that algorithm?
Look, very important. It's easy to spot those who've already fallen, but there's a whole lot more that hasn't fallen. So the biggest thing we need to think about as GPs is you could suspect. The more you pick up all these patients who has poor muscle health, the more you start suspecting. Everybody coming in my room is now a suspect. So it's not just, as I said, a fall or somebody who looks really, really skinny, really, really frail, really sarcopenic, but people who's got arthritis, who walks with a walking stick, people who almost fall, people with chronic illnesses, whether they recovered from cancer or have endured chemotherapy, people with COPD, people with diabetes, and you mentioned earlier, obesity. I mean, you used to think that you're obese, you probably got a lot of muscles, you carry your weight around. Not true at all. Another big group that we're beginning to see lots of people who's lost and regained weight, the so-called yo-yo dieter. And there are increasingly people who's either had bariatric surgery or GLP injection to lose weight. Whenever you lose weight, you lose muscle at the same time. And these are going to be giant issues coming up in years to come.
Yeah, I know. And I'm cycling through all of the patients that you just listed who are in my surgery every day. Let's focus on what we can do for them and let's have a chat about nutrition. What are the key nutrition components we should be focusing on for patients like those?
I guess just three. One is calories. I know we talked earlier about protein. I'll come to protein in a second. Let's talk about calories. Now, if you were to ask your patients a very simple question, what do you have for breakfast, lunch and dinner? You can very quickly work out whether they got enough calories. Now, the average person needs about 2,000 calories every day. If you ask many of your older patients, they have 12 to 1,300 calories a day. So they're actually starving every day. So you can't build muscle, you cannot maintain your muscle health if you don't have enough calories. So, and everybody in the community is trying to lose weight. So are our older people, they're trying to lose weight as well. No, they don't want to lose weight. So second thing, protein. Now, protein is expensive, but people don't think about protein intake. We need between about 100 to 120 grams of protein a day. Now, to make it very simple to my patient, one palm size of meat is 30 grams. When I tell them one palm size of meat, they nod their head. Three times a day, they fall off the chair. I can't have three pieces of meat a day. So we need to sit down and think about enough protein. Most of the time, they don't have protein for breakfast. They get minuscule amount of protein for lunch. Yes, most people will have a piece of meat for dinner, but they're only having about a third to half of them. And of course, they need to eat a nutritionally replete meal with micronutrients present and vitamins and fiber. But the main thing primarily is going to be your calories and protein intake.
Yes, so important. It can be really difficult to achieve that, especially if you are elderly or if you've got some disability with your hands and you're not good at chopping things. Can you talk to us about the role of oral nutritional supplement drinks in providing nutritional support for muscles and health? I mean, when do we use them?
A lot of the time, in a younger person, it's easy. You can have them to eat a lot more. And as we know, sarcopenia not only affect the older people, there are a lot of younger people with chronic illnesses and those who had surgery. So it's easy to get them to have enough real food. But your average older person, because they're used to eating very little, their stomach actually have shrunk. They actually can't eat a lot, even if you want them to. So this is absolutely important that, and very often I would need to supplement their diet with oral nutritional formulas, like Ensure, like Glucerna, for example. They're incredibly important because they really haven't got stomach to stomach their food.
Yeah, it's so true. I did want to take you back to that muscle health algorithm for clinical practice. Can you just give us some quick insights into practical ways that we GPs can implement it in our daily practice?
So we talk about suspect, and then two other categories we need to think about. Then you need to ask. For example, did you fall over? Have you difficulty getting out of a bed, getting out of a chair? And you can ask the family members, for example, and they tell you. And one of the common, simplest questions to ask is, are you walking a bit slower? There are people who, older people, walks every day, but they're actually walking slower and slower. Now, if you're weak, it slows you down. You may walk very far, but very slow. So simple question, if you are not sure what to ask, there is a questionnaire you can get them to fill in, the SARC questionnaire. And there are 5 questions to ask. Anything that tick yes, you know, you could argue that you need 3 or 4 to say yes, but any yes to that 5 questions is enough to suspect that you probably got early poor muscle health. Then you can assess them very easy in general practice. And I normally get people to do 5 chair rides, sitting down, getting up, sitting down, getting up 5 times, starting with the first getting up, finishing with the last sitting down. Now, the international sarcopenia reference range is anything less than 15 seconds is good. But our Australian data reference range says anything above 12 seconds is already abnormal. Don't wait till you get to 15 or 16. Obviously, if your patient can't even do 1, they fail. Okay, very easy to do. Now, you can get a grip test. There are some simple gadgets you can buy, goniometer sort of thing. And don't buy the accredited one. They are $200, $300. But you can buy a simple one on eBay for $25. You can actually assess your patient's hand grip. Now, there are studies to show that hand grip correlate very well with the overall strength and overall muscle health. Simple 2 gadgets, but even a chair rise is enough.
I love that. I mean, we could all be doing that so easily without adding a lot of time to a very busy general practice load. Chi, can you summarise for us the chronic disease muscle health relationship and the key takeaways for GPs listening to us today?
So think about chronic health as 1, slowing them down mechanically. So they walk slower, they lift things less, and they, particularly the people who's retired, they may be quite strong, but they no longer do those lifting anymore. Then you got the metabolic component of it, where chronic illnesses creates chemicals that slows down the formation of muscles and hasten the breakdown of muscle. So they have a net muscle balance, negative balance. And then the third component is the nutrition. Doesn't take long to ask about nutrition in terms of calories. We don't have to be dietitian. A simple question, what do you have for breakfast, lunch and dinner? You can assess whether they have enough calories, whether they've got enough protein in their diet. And very often, I would need to supplement their diet with oral nutritional formulas.
Such a great chat. I've learnt so much. Dr. Chi Koo, thank you so much for joining us on Drive Time GP.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Food for special medical purposes. Use under medical supervision. Available in pharmacies, Ensure is the number 1 oral nutritional supplement in the world, supported by over 30 clinical studies. Clinically shown to help improve muscle strength in 90 days in community-dwelling adults aged 65 years and over with or at risk of malnutrition, compared to nutrition education alone. Ensure powder provides complete balanced nutrition with 28 essential vitamins and minerals, high-quality protein and prebiotic fibre to help in the dietary management of individuals who require increased nutrition, including those at risk of malnutrition or recovering from surgery, injuries or illness. Ensure also offers a range of higher-calorie protein liquid supplements that can be ordered in pharmacies to support muscle strength, immunity and energy in those at nutritional risk. For more info, visit ensure.com.au. The substantiating references can be obtained from the Drive Time Radio website. This interview was supported by Abbott Nutrition and produced in June 2025. The views expressed are those of the individual speakers and may not represent those of the supporting organisation or Drive Time Radio Australia Proprietary Limited.